chapter 14. Basically, we're learning about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God here on earth. And a lot of people will ask, people that are in the world, who is Jesus Christ? Or for some, they may not even have Jesus Christ on their radar. But there's a lot of discussion about who Jesus Christ is. Some say he never existed. Some people say he's a myth. Some say he's just a man. Some venture to say that he's a prophet. Some believe he is our only way to heaven. So there's a lot of different ideas on that. And what we're going to be doing today is looking into the Word of God or what it has to say about that. But I think it's important to know what he is saying in this passage here today. And I'm just going to say this right out the gate. If you don't hear anything else I say, know this. Jesus is about our provision. This really is a passage of God's provision for us. And, you know, I don't know what you're going through in life. We have a situation here where the apostles are gathered together. They're having the Last Supper with Jesus. And Jesus announces to them that he's not going to be with them very much longer. So they, in their mind, have a sense of loss and a sense of sorrow. So in this passage, Jesus is going to endeavor to not only comfort them, but to also point to them points of provision. And, you know, when Ryan started worship here today, he was talking about coming here and getting a healing. And that is true. We can get a healing. And one of the things that maybe we are experiencing in our own lives is maybe a sense of loss. Maybe you've lost a job, or your husband or your spouse has lost a job. Maybe you've lost some of your health, where you used to be able to do some things that you can no longer do. Maybe you've lost a close friend or loved one. You know, we all go through periods of time where there's losses. And what I want to point you today is that Jesus can be your source of provision, no matter what you're going through today. If we look to him for provision, he will provide. He doesn't always replace exactly what we've lost, but he does provide. So with that, if you have a Bible, please open it up and turn to the Gospel of John, John 14. And some of the points we're going to be talking about today is, we can put them up on the overhead here as you're turning there, is his goal for leaving, his relationship with the Father, his exclusive stance, his plan for us, and his provision for us. And under the heading of provision, there's a lot of things he's going to talk about as far as providing for us. He talks about providing heaven. He talks about providing salvation. He talks about providing us with an understanding of who he is. He talks about providing a ministry for us. And he talks about providing a helper for us. So once again, as far as the background goes, this is the Last Supper. They're involved in the Passover. And if you have a red letter version of the Gospel of John, right now this whole passage is lit up in red because these are the words of Jesus Christ. So without further ado, let's get into the passage. We're going to read the whole passage. Bear with me as I read through it, and then we'll unpack it together. Let not your hearts be troubled. Once again, he just gave them bad news. So now he's going to tell them some good news. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak from my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me and will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that is in you, that the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world does, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you will have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Arise, let us go from here. Let's pray. Father God, as we unpack this word, Lord God, I just pray that you quicken to our hearts what you have done and are doing for us. Lord God, I just pray that we would gain an appreciation of the things that you have provided for us and how you work in us and through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one time I was talking to this woman, and she had been to a funeral. Her dad had passed away. And she had four sisters, five girls. Can you imagine? I can't imagine five girls living in the same house together. Some of you maybe know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, five girls, no boys. That was the entire family. And their dad passed away. And they had a funeral. And at the funeral, or after the funeral, they had the burial ceremony, or, you know, where you go to the cemetery. And at the cemetery, they had the area laid out. They had a nice tent over the area. And they had chairs set out. And this woman told me when I got there, there was chairs for my mom and for my four sisters. But there was no chair for me. There was no place for me at my own dad's funeral. And she carried that with her, and it was a point of bitterness. Years later, her mom passed away. And I was asked to do the funeral. So I go to the funeral, and wouldn't you know it, there are four chairs set out. And I had provided for her. I had a chair in my trunk just in case this was going to happen. And so as I could see it in her face. She's looking. There's no place for me. I brought out the chair, and it just made the world of difference for her. Even though the other chairs were all nicely covered up, you know, they had this covering they put on it. I set a folding chair down. She sat down in it because I had provided a place for her. Jesus promised us when he was going to leave the earth that he was going to provide a place for us. It says in verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." You know, when we arrive in heaven, there's going to be a place for us. I don't know exactly what that's going to entail. You know, some verses of the, or some translations of the Bible unpacks this as a mansion. He's created a lot of mansions. And I remember hearing this one evangelist talking about he had this vision of heaven and there's all these mansions everywhere. And, you know, I don't know if literally that's what it is. They use the word rooms in this translation. Dwelling places is another idea that's being used. But here's the concept that I want to get across to you. It's not going to be like that first funeral that lady went to. It's going to be like the second funeral, where there is a specific place prepared just for you. When you get to heaven, no matter when that is, if it could be when the archangel cries out or the trumpet sounds, we meet Jesus in the air and we meet with him and eventually make our way to heaven, or it could be when we die and immediately we're with Jesus in heaven, but there'll be a place for us. There is provision for us. It's not going to be like coming to a place and getting a generic room, like you go to a hotel. You know, we'll leave the light on for you, right? What is it, the Red Roof Inn or whatever? You know, and you get there and all the rooms are the same. No, it's not going to be like that, because Jesus has created a place specifically for us. And if it is like a room, it'll have all the stuff you like. The layout will be what you like. Or if it's a mansion, it'll be just what you want. Or if it's even a ministry or a thing that we do, it will reflect who we are. That's the kind of Lord we serve. He has gone to prepare a place for us. So he affirms to them, the disciples, because they're getting a little nervous. He's leaving. And, you know, the fact of the matter is our sojourn on earth is a sojourn. It's just, we're just passing through. We're not sticking around here. You know, for some of us, our bodies are wasting away. You know, I can't do what I used to do, you know, in terms of, you know, the stamina and stuff like that. That's okay. Someday I am going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be doing cartwheels, amongst other things. Maybe he's going to provide a bicycle for me in heaven. Who knows? All right? But we will feel at home when we get there. It's not going to be like a strange place. It's going to be a comfortable place, and he's doing that for us. The second thing is Jesus tells us that he is the way. He is the way. And the second thing he is telling his disciples is he provides them with salvation. John 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, some people say, well, you know, Christianity's exclusive. And, you know, I believe God has many ways. Well, you know what? God is God. He's his own person, right? And he has established a way for us. He didn't have to, but he has established a way for us, and that way is through the person of Jesus Christ. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We have a sin debt that we owe God, and the only way to pay for that sin debt is through the blood of Jesus. No amount of good deeds, no amount of good things that we do here on this planet will recompense for the sins that we've committed. You know, some people look at it as like a scale, you know. I think even some world religions look at it like a scale. You know, my good deeds have to outweigh my bad deeds. And at the end of the day, which way is it the scale tipping? You know, and some people say, well, I got to get the scale tipped in my favor. Before I die, I'm going to leave everything to charity or do something like that to try to buy my way into heaven. And it just ain't working like that. It just does not work like that. Jesus said, I am the way. A way is a kind of a path. But, you know, early in the New Testament, when you look in the book of Acts, the way was actually what they called the early Christian movement. A matter of fact, Paul said at one point, I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. They referred to Christianity early on as the way. What way is it? It's the way to heaven. It is the way. But it's also the truth. This is true. This is a true statement. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the truth and also the life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives, believes in me, will never die. We have that promise of heaven. You know, in a sense, we don't die. We just walk through a doorway. Yeah, our physical body may drop down, but we just, ourselves, we just kind of like walk through a doorway. We just go into a different reality. We go into the reality of heaven and spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Like I said before, there are people that say, well, you know, I don't like Christianity because it's exclusive. But Jesus made it clear that this was the only way. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's why it's so imperative that we go out to the highways and byways, go into the communities or wherever God has placed us, and be a light to the people around us. They need to know that Jesus is the way to heaven. They need to know that Jesus is the way for their salvation. Some people say, oh, all religions are fundamentally the same and superficially different. Actually, the opposite is true. All religions are superficially the same. They all talk about, you know, a way to God. But in terms of substance, they're all different. They're all different in terms of their substance. So take comfort. Take comfort in that you have salvation if you believe in Jesus Christ. That you have a promise of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The third thing I want to mention today is that Jesus shows us what God is like. And that's been my theme going through the book of John. That's why we're doing the book of John. You want to know what the Father is like? You need to look at Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, talking to Philip, have I been with you so long that you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on the account of the works themselves. He's telling him, look, you want God? Look at me. It can't be more graphic than that. You know, some people say Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh my goodness. They must never have read the book of John. They must never have read John 1:1. They must never have read John chapter 14. You know, it's kind of interesting because Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he doesn't play all his cards out right away, does he? He doesn't come to the disciples and say, hey, I'm God, come follow me. He doesn't even say he's the Messiah. He just says, follow me. And they say, hey, we found the Messiah. They don't even know what the Messiah was all about. They had some Old Testament scriptures. They had some concepts of what they believed he was all about. But I don't really think early on that they realized that the Messiah that they were claiming that Jesus was is God. I don't think, one time I asked a theologian and he said, you know, I asked if they understood that the Messiah was going to be God. And he said, I don't think they would have put it quite that crudely. But it's true. He is God. He shows us what God is like. As a matter of fact, Colossians 2 verse 9 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So, you know, trying to understand the concept of God as he exists in heaven, it's just mind-boggling. But we can picture a person, right? We can picture a man. We can picture a man walking around, talking to his disciples. We can picture a man going around, doing good, healing people who are in need. We can picture a man rebuking people that need to be rebuked, giving hope to people that needed hope, giving salvation to all of mankind. We can picture Jesus Christ. We have the words of him recorded to us. We know what he would say. We have the actions that he did record us for us in the Bible. It says in Colossians 1 verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Talking about Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Made peace with mankind. What did the angels say when Jesus was born? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men. Jesus came to provide that peace. The disciples wanted a relationship with God. Jesus tells them, guys, you already got it. You got me. You got Jesus. You got God. Jesus also talks about greater works. And there, I believe he's providing for us a ministry. It says in John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You know, this scripture can be taken out of context, and bad things can happen when we do that. But ultimately, what Jesus is trying to get across is, look, you saw what I did in 3.5 years. You're going to do even greater things. He's telling his disciples that, and he tells us that through the work of the disciples, through the record of the scriptures that we have here, that we have access to do even greater things. Do we? I don't know. The fact of the matter is that last verse, what I read to you, or the second to last verse, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. It's more than just saying Jesus' name on everything. You know, we end our prayers a lot of times saying in Jesus' name, and it's become just kind of a tradition. But the idea of doing something in somebody's name is the idea of doing something under somebody else's authority. Under the authority of Jesus Christ, we are doing this. You know, you may say, wow, if I just took that last verse, if you ask for anything in my name, I'll do it. Lord, give me a Cadillac. No, make it a Lamborghini, you know, or whatever. You know, it's silly what we can do with that. But the fact of the matter is, according to his will, we can ask, and he will do. So try that out. What do you think God's will is? Is God's will for you to preach the gospel to somebody? Ask him. See what he does. Lord, give me somebody to preach the gospel to today. See what he does. In his name. In his name. By his authority. What he's trying to do. Stretch out. I think this concept blew the disciples' minds when they first heard it. It was just kind of like, but you know what? When the rubber met the road and they were praying in the temple and they were walking to pray in the temple and Peter and John come upon that one guy that's lame, that's begging, and Peter says, you know what? I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But I got something I can give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Boom. And from that point on, I think that seeded something in Peter's heart. Because it talks about him even raising people from the dead. And then later on, Paul. Just amazing things, doing things, amazing things. Preaching the gospel, seeing what's going to happen, warning the guys, hey, if you jump ship, guess what? Everybody's going to die. Well, I guess we're not jumping ship. Warms himself by a fire. A snake curls around his hand. He shakes it off in the fire. Everybody expects him to die. Nope. Greater things will I do. But the key is that we remain in him. We must remain in him. Otherwise, it's all about us and not about Jesus Christ. The final the area of provision, is that God provides for us a helper. God provides for us a helper. In John 14, 16 through 18, it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." You know, things were going to change. Things were going to change. They would not have the person of Jesus Christ walking around with them any longer. They would not have him to bounce questions off of. They would not have him to run interference for them when they bungled things up. And that was a kind of, I think, a scary thing. But they were going to have another helper. And that word helper, it's kind of difficult to translate. The Greek is paraklete or parakletos. But the idea is a helper or comforter, somebody that walks along with you. How many need somebody to kind of walk along with them sometimes, you know? You know, I need a helper. It says in John 14, verse 26, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So Jesus is introducing to them the Holy Spirit, the one he describes as a helper. He's going to be the guy that walks along. He's going to be the comforter. He's going to be the advocate, the counselor, the instructor. And he's going to do basically two things. He's going to teach them, and he's going to bring to their remembrance. You ever wonder how the disciples were able to write down the words of Jesus? I mean, you got John writing, like in chapter 14, that whole chapter are the words of Jesus. How did he remember? How did he remember the words of Jesus? Because he probably wrote those words of Jesus when he was an old man. How did he remember the words of Jesus after some 50 years? Well, it says here that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance the words that Jesus said. And he will bring to our remembrance the things that he has taught us and that he has said. And he will teach us all things. You know, it's kind of neat in the elders training meeting, Kirk did a little experiment. Well, I don't know if it's an experiment, but an exercise, where he had us read the second book of Timothy and just said, see what the Lord speaks to you through that. And it is amazing to me, every time, without a doubt, every time, God gives me something. I look in the Word of God, every time, God gives me something. And sometimes I can work on things, I can prepare things, and then God gives me some fresh revelation. A thing I didn't see before. Boom, opens up. You know? And it was the same thing. It was so weird because it was like, I'm reading through and it's like, okay, Lord, what do you got for me? The very first chapter, boom, 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 just gave me these things right out the gate. Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells me. And I know the Holy Spirit also equips us. Okay? He equips us to do the works of the ministries. We have spiritual gifts available to us. I understand that, and I don't want to put those down. I do want to mention those. Those are in existence. But the fact of the matter is, day to day, he's there to teach us. Day to day, he is there to bring to our remembrance what Jesus had said. So here Christ promises them that through the work of the Holy Spirit, they would not only be able to give an accurate history of Jesus, but also the actual words he said, so that that could be recorded for us and transmitted to us today. That in itself is a miracle. So, like I said before, I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know what has happened. I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what kind of healing that you might be in need of. But I do know this, that God is a provider. And Jesus has provided things for you. He has provided a place for you. He has provided salvation for you. He has provided for you an understanding, a way to understand God better. He has provided for you a ministry, something that's unique to you, maybe something that's special to you. Maybe God's going to use your voice. Maybe God's going to use your words. Maybe God's going to use your ability to speak. Maybe God's going to use your gregarious nature, or maybe your gift of hospitality. But God can use whatever he's given you for his kingdom, for his glory. And ultimately, God has given us all his Holy Spirit as a resource. You know, I always like to look at the Trinity when I look at the heavens. And you know, you got the sun, you know, the bright sun representing the Father. You know, you just can't even look at the sun because of its brilliance. And it's the same kind of thing with God. You know, it's just like overwhelming. Can't even look. Can't even see, you know, just can't even look. It's just, you know, it's there. It's providing light to everything, but it's just so incredibly bright you just can't look. But what do you have to look at the sun with? You can look at the light of the moon, which is really just the reflection of the sun, isn't it? A matter of fact, the sun the moon is a reflector of the sun, just like Jesus reflected God to us. So the moon, and when they went to the moon, you know what they found? They found glass on the surface of the moon. They found that the surface of the moon is a natural reflective kind of surface, so that it reflects the sun to us, just like the Son of God reflects his Father to us. And then there's the stars, which I like to, you know, use as a representative of the Holy Spirit. You know, the moon, you know, it's kind of in one place at one time, but the stars are everywhere. And it's like the Holy Spirit, he indwells us all. He's everywhere. You know, he's in China right now. He's in Africa right now. He's doing services all over this town. He's in other states. He's in other nations. Just like when you look at the stars and you just can't even count how many there are, it's just like the Holy Spirit is already working. Those bits of light in all these different people all over the planet. Yeah, some lights shine brighter than others. But boy, I tell you, when you get close to them, you see another sun. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Stand with me, if you will. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord God. We just thank you that you've given to us as a resource. I thank you what you've given me to share from your word, Lord God. So I just pray you seal it in our hearts. And Lord, I pray for anybody here today who is hurting, who is in need of a healing, that you touch them, that you'd provide in some way a ministry for them to be healed through, some kind of touch, some kind of maybe a hurt that gets dealt with, Lord God. We know that you're the great physician. Lord God, I just pray that everybody here would walk away from this table, so to speak, feeling fed. And Lord, we also pray for the physical food we're about to receive downstairs, Lord God. We just pray that you strengthen us with it, that you nourish us with it, and that you bless it to our bodies. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you downstairs in a few minutes.